Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
They're going quick.
Yeah, don't get that. Defense is a little worn down after the long drive. Don't give them a chance to breathe. Go right back at it again.
Play fake. Williams looking, throwing. It is caught. Touchdown. Oh, Olamide Zaccheaus.
I like the idea of getting Caleb outside of the pocket. He's been so dangerous all day. Drops it down barely through the arm. Nixon in coverage and finds Zaccheaus. What a catch. What a great camera angle. Sidearm delivery through Nixon's arms and then finds Zaccheaus from the pylon cam. What a drive, KB.
You know, Caleb, he looks like Fran Tarkenton out there sometimes. He's got eyes in the back of a head. Like, you know, I saw a stat somewhere that, like, he has like 30-some unblocked blitzers or rushers, and he's taken zero sacks on those guys. So he just has the ability to see them coming, somehow eyes in the back of his head, make guys miss, and then expend and extend plays. And when he does, he threatens the entire field. He can throw across his body 50 yards down the field, and he can dot an eye when he does it. So it's not just taking the run game away from him, but it's taking the scrambles to throw. You know, and that stuff puts a lot of pressure on your defense.
No doubt about that. That is Jim Schwartz, the defensive coordinator of the Cleveland Browns. He's going to be tasked with chasing Caleb Williams around. You're listening to a Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric Football Friday, presented by your local Ford dealers and Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. We're cut a little bit short tonight because the Bulls have a game against Charlotte. Pre-game will start at 5:45, but until then, Carmen Vitale is in for Spiegs, and we are hanging out and... Here's another opportunity. The last four games, like from a statistical standpoint, the Bears have been winning football games with Caleb Williams as their quarterback. Mm-hmm. But I think as we discussed with Dan Wiederer, as we discussed with Olin Krutz, and as the two of us have talked today, there's still things that Caleb Williams can get better at.
Yeah, and because of the type of offense that he's being tasked with running, I think they're... So much of Ben Johnson's scheme is reliant on timing and rhythm and staying within the structure because everything is so meticulously planned out because Ben Johnson is in the office like all times of day and night. But it's finding that balance because of all the stuff. By the way, listening to Jim Schwartz talk, I don't like he's got the accent, like the East Coast accent that just like reminds me of my uncles. And it's just one of those things where like, it's like a comfort.
Where are your uncles from?
Philly, Jersey, the tri-state area. So they have like that very, you know, New York, New Jersey, Philly accent. That's just, it's just comforting to me to hear. And Jim Schwartz has been in the league obviously for so long. So it's just, I don't know. That's how I want to hear football talked about, is in that accent.
I get it.
You know, Caleb, he looks like Fran Tarkenton out there sometimes.
That could literally be my uncle, just like saying that exact thing. It's fantastic. But getting back to that, it's, like, the reason that Caleb is so hard to game plan for is because of the fact that he is evading all these pressures, and he's got all this unblocked pressure, but he's still getting out of that, and he's not getting sacked, and he can place the ball on a dime while on the run, going across his body, all the things that Jim Schwartz talked about. But you can't run an offense that way. Like, solely that way. So there has to be, like, you have to be able to pick your spots and find that balance. And that is what I think we're witnessing right now between Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams.
Why don't we hear from Ben? Because obviously people are trying to figure out kind of where they are and whether or not there's a little bit of frustration of things not looking a little bit cleaner on offense. This is what Ben had to say about his QB.
It's one of those things we're still working through. You know, I gauge it a lot over the course of the week. What do the passes look like when we're out there full speed? That gives me a lot of confidence going to the game of, man, he threw this one really well during the week, and let's get it out open early so that we can just get a couple completions banked. Call it 4 or 5 games, I just haven't felt like we've gotten into that where we're stacking up completions. And he's conscious of it. I'm conscious of it. And we'll continue to try to find that right balance of what those plays are.
When you look at some of Caleb's issues with timing, like recognition of an open guy, and then the throwing accuracy, how much of that do you parse out as, this is stuff he should be able to fix right now, and this is stuff that's pretty expected and natural when you're a young player learning a new offense?
I think both of those things come up. You know, there's a lot of thinking going on for him right now. And, you know, I was talking with the TV crew yesterday about this. Just since the bye week, we've kind of, I don't want to say taken the training wheels off, but to a degree, we've opened up with all these shifts and motions. We have more movement than we did in the first 4 games. And when that happens, you know, he's thinking a lot about his making sure he's doing, checking off all the boxes that he's got to check off before the snap. And so, because of that, the post-snap play suffers a little bit. Well, I also believe it's also a big reason why we're having some success in the running game and bringing some of that stuff to life as well. So it's something that we're going to continue to work through. And I think each week you continue to see improvement to where the post-snap play of our quarterback is getting better. And so, there's some of those that you look at, and he said, man, I got to hit that. And then there's other ones that, you know, they're going to be challenging throws that he makes, and it's like, holy cow, you know. And so we're gonna get there. I'm not worried about that aspect of it, and it's just a matter of time.
You'd have the option to narrow some of that down, to simplify some of that for a short-term gain maybe. Is it more of a priority to you to keep him on track to master this offense long-term and then just hope each week he makes progress catching up?
The most important thing for us is finding ways to win games. That's the key each and every week. So we're going to do whatever we need to do to win that game that week. He's going to continue to get more comfortable within this offense the longer he's a part of it. So whether that's a lot of shifts of motions, whether that's completely static for the course of a game, to me it doesn't really matter. He's going to continue to develop, and he's going to be in a good spot.
Ben, obviously, Caleb was drafted to be franchise quarterback to handle situations like right now with potential playoffs on the line. Do you have to manage the psychological aspect of developing that part of him, and what does that entail?
I think that's the best thing about him is he's built for the big stage, the big moments. We've talked about that in the past as well. He rises to that occasion, and the bigger the stage, I think he really comes to life as a player. And so, yeah, you know, hopefully we can find a way to make it into the dance. And I think he'll be playing his best football when we earn that right.
You took the job. You said that Caleb was part of the attraction of coming here, that working with that quarterback. And you've spoken very positively about him throughout the season. What in your, I think, 11 months now here has strengthened your long-term view of what he can become?
Well, yeah, I think it's the coachability aspect of it. He's doing a really good job right now of being critical of himself. We see it the same way. You know, we'll watch tape together. Man, I gotta be better there. Even the walkthrough. I mean, we just had a walkthrough, and he's a little pissed off walking off. He's like, man, I had two in there that I could have gotten a little bit cleaner in a walkthrough setting. Well, we just installed the play, so that, I mean, that's natural. And so when he's critical of himself and he's taking the coaching, I know good things are coming down the horizon. And so he's going to continue to get better.
There's a lot of good stuff in there. Where'd you hear, Carmen?
I think the thing that, you know, you're when you're talking about Caleb Williams and getting better, and Ben has said this in so many words, and I think he said it directly, like, Caleb's not going to have command of this offense in the first year. He's just not. It's too complex. There's too much. You need too many reps. He was talking about this when I was there on Wednesday.
The million reps.
But even when he came down from that, he's like, yeah, we probably gotten like 10,000 reps. We need 100,000 more. And even if like those are absolutely arbitrary numbers, he's saying that he needs 10 times more reps than he has already had to really grasp what Ben Johnson wants him to do in this offense. And I've been kind of monitoring this aspect of like the stats side of everything of Caleb Williams, how often he's on the run, how often he's scrambling, where that stacks up league wide, how often, you know, what's his in the box percentage. So NGS, Next Gen Stats, keeps track of all this in a really, really great way. But his in the box percentage, so his throws that are coming from inside the tackle box, is the lowest in the league of any qualified passer. So he is attempting the least amount of passes from the tackle box of any qualified passer in the league right now. He is scrambling at the second most of anyone behind only Jaden Daniels. He is on the run. His on the run percentage is the second highest behind only Bo Nix. So you're talking about, again, and I think this is Ben Johnson when he's, you know, when he's talking about like the coachability and stuff like that, he appreciates that Caleb's trying, but like it's not there yet because he's not running the offense that Ben Johnson is calling essentially right now.
There's a couple things I wanted to point out. One, love the questions by Jason Leisure that he kind of got to ask like two or three in a row that stayed on the same track. Yeah. So I think and I thought those answers were pretty good. Hearing Ben say post-snap play is getting better, that's important.
Yeah.
You know, and the pre-snap stuff is important too, so that maybe he can get quicker when he's inside the tackle box of understanding what a defense is doing. But the fact that you're seeing growth post-snap as things are happening, he's making better decisions.
Yes.
That's how I take that. And then this is the part that I think that we all kind of knew even from last year, but it's been reinforced this past season. Built for the big stage and the big moments. Mm-hmm. He is. Yeah. I think he craves it. Right. It's a weird thing.
I think that's a good distinction, though. I think that's a very good distinction is... Like when you talk about craving something, does that then mean you need it? Do you need to be in those situations to rise to that level?
It's a fair question. On Spiegs always talks about it as him accepting and learning to love the mundane.
Yes. Yes. That's been my thing from before the season even started was I wanted to see the boring stuff.
You're a good person to talk about this. So my feeling, like that, people who listen to Spiegel and Holmes show daily know that I've talked about this. Whenever Jared Goff's name came up, I was like, I would love to see Caleb play like Jared Goff, and people would get mad. Mm. Like, well, he's better. I'm like, well, first of all, careful. That was also a one of one, right? And I know that he got traded. I think that Caleb has more physical gifts than Jared Goff.
Easy.
But that's why I want him to play like Jared Goff. Because when you add that to the consistency of Jared Goff understanding this is where the open guy is and I'm getting the ball out now. And I know that some of that is survival. Some of that is I can't get away from Micah Parsons.
Right, because he doesn't have the athletic ability to do so.
But the fact that he is taking it upon himself to be on time and play in a way that I think makes it easier for everyone else in the offense, that's where... If Caleb just gets a little bit more of that, when you add it to the craving of the big play part, then you've got yourself a real dangerous quarterback.
That I am with you 100% because the ceiling on Caleb Williams, we haven't even gotten anywhere close to it. Because if you can put it together, if you can put the boring stuff together, the Jared Goff stuff together, but you can sprinkle in just these incredibly athletic plays... And these plays that should end in sacks that don't, that frustrates defenses, that is so hard to account for if you are a defensive coordinator trying to game plan against Caleb Williams and against this Bears offense. It's something that I really love about Ben Johnson's scheme is how multiple it is. Whether you're talking about the blocking scheme up front, or you're talking about the run game, or you're talking about the pass game, and you have all these the litany of options that the Bears have offensively, that is so hard to account for by opposing defenses. But when you are, and it was Robert Mays, our good friend Robert Mays, who said this, when you are watching Caleb Williams play football, you are stressed out. It is stressful.
That's a great call by Robert.
He's right. There are these incredible, insane, again, plays that showcase Caleb's incredible talent, which is... Like his natural ability and his talent is his ceiling is higher than Jared Goff. But what's really fun about watching Jared Goff play is I'm not holding my breath. Everything is methodical when it comes to Jared Goff.
I love that word for it, and you're right on.
And that's what's been missing, and that's when you hear Ben Johnson talk about, well, we just want to stack completions, and it's not something we've done in the last four or five games. He wants a methodical offense that controls the line of scrimmage, that controls the time on the clock, controls the field, and it puts together these complete drives.
But when a play breaks down, Caleb.
But then, yes, exactly.
Do the thing.
But don't preemptively break the play down. Like, don't let the play preemptively break down because you got through your progressions too quickly, or you didn't hold a spot long enough, or you didn't look off the safety the way that you were supposed to, or whatever. Because again, and we talked about this earlier in the show, it's so hard for your receivers then to keep, like, all the stuff that your receivers now have to think about if a play breaks down. Usually that's only a couple times a game, and then they can kind of make up for that. They look where their quarterback is. They try to get open. They try to, like, whatever. These receivers are having to do that quite a bit, and it's a hard way to live. That's what I always come back to, that. It's a hard way to live if you are going off of vibes.
I think that you've said that's really well said. It's a hard, the stress, Robert saying that it's stressful to watch him is exactly what you feel, but it's also exhilarating.
It's exhilarating. No, 100%, 100%.
Like even on the play where he throws the interception at the end, you're like, oh, Caleb might do something cool.
Right. Like you have this kind of like anticipation of things being like, oh, this could be the coolest play I've ever seen. But then it could also be like the worst line you've ever seen. Yep. I had, in fact, in that Packers game, I did something on Blue Sky where I had the WTF Caleb play counter. So it was like a WTF play by Caleb. And I got up to four. And they were all like insane plays that like no one else is making.
The throw to Alameda Zacchaeus
is one of them. Also, I think I regret to inform everyone, Tom Brady has gotten a lot better at calling games.
He has. Spiegs even brought it up. He was amazing on that call.
I fear that he has gotten to be a lot better. But no, that was one of them. And then you go back to, you know, like there's like the touchdown to Cole Kmet a couple games ago. Like there's all these... It's this counter, but then my
there
final...
There was that time where he was in the pocket and he eluded a sack by jumping over someone.
By jumping
someone
over his own offensive lineman?
Yeah, that was one of them. You're like, what?
That was one of them.
What? That stuff is impossible.
But then the fifth one, I got to four. The fifth one was the WTF derogatory.
Correct.
Play, which was the interception.
That basically ends the game. Tonight, the Bulls are in Charlotte to take on the Hornets. Pregame coverage begins at 5:45. Tip-off is at 6 on the Score. And the Fitzgerald Equipment Bulls Radio Network, powered by Heli Forklifts. You're listening to a Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric Football Friday, presented by your local Ford dealers in Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. When we come back, who's Ben's offense related to? We'll explain next on the Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Spiegel and Holmes Show Flashback.
It just kind of popped into my mind because I had read something a week ago or talked to somebody a week ago that just said something about how Ben had been influenced. I don't know if it's spending time with Mike or studying the playbook that we had or whatever. That it,
I think it was me. I think it was me on this
did
show.
Did you say it last week?
Yeah.
Did you say it last week?
Yeah, absolutely. Right, come on. We've got an ongoing conversation. It's a give and take. It's a beautiful thing.
That's right. Okay, it was you.
It was Speaks. Speaks has created a whole football conversation. So let me get this straight. By the way, Carmen is in.
We're Speaks.
He's off today.
I was going to say.
I did get a text from Speaks, and he told me that the day has been filled with 7 errands. I was like, that's too many errands.
That's too many errands.
You didn't have an off day, sir.
No.
You should have planned
that's
better.
That's the biggest farce of being an adult, is that like when you have an off day, it's never an off day because you have errands.
There are things that you're doing. You're taking stuff to this place. You're getting estimates. You're doing this. You're doing that. But yes, that's what he was doing today. Errands. But anyway, he started a conversation about what are the pieces to a Ben Johnson offense? Like, where does it come from? And one of the names is, since we were talking to Kurt Warner, has been Mike Martz. So the question was posed to Ben Johnson from this very show about whether or not there's a connection between the Martz offense and what Ben does.
And there have been some comparisons made between your scheme and what Mike Martz ran. I know that
that's right on our show, Courtney.
Was he an influence on you as you were becoming, you know, working with offenses in the NFL, like to build your philosophy?
I've met him a couple times, and you know, I've got a ton of respect for the guy. He's a guy. I remember going to dinner with him when I was in Miami. It was me and a couple other coaches, and you know, he could just talk for hours and you're just a sponge soaking it all in. He certainly believes in what he believes in. And you know, here's what I would say is, it was when Bill Lazor took over at Miami, kind of had this vision of bringing Chip Kelly's run game and combining it with Mike Martz's digit system offense. And so indirectly, I've been influenced by that digit system. We did it for a couple years And so I do have a little bit of familiarity in terms of how he would coach some of that stuff. We brought him in and he's talked to the staff about it. So yeah, there are elements of that, but I think I've talked about, you know, the root of this offense is we're more of a mutt. There's stuff all over the place. And I think that's where a lot of these teams are at this point anyways. I don't know that there's a true West Coast offense out there anymore. There's just, there's a lot of plays out there and, everyone has the ability to morph every week.
I love that. I am someone who does not like dogmatic systems. I feel like all of us, I mean, whatever it is that we do, there are influences from a bunch of different places. Mm. For example, you hear me doing a radio show and you go, oh, I wonder where Lawrence's influences are. Well, they're kind of all over the place. There's Steve Dahl in here. There's Doug Banks in here. There's the Bad Boys from WGCI in here. Like, there's a lot of stuff that goes into the gumbo that makes up me. So I like when I hear, like, I'm pulling from here, I'm pulling from there. My favorite book is Blood, Sweat, and Chalk. And it shows you, like, some of these things and how this concept ends up getting married to this concept because the defensive concepts adjusted.
So you had to
end up matching some of this stuff. Mm-hmm. So I love hearing that Ben's drawing inspiration from wherever he can find it.
I mean, it's something that's so easily traceable too within the NFL because these schemes, I mean, it all, you know, it culminates like, I feel like every coach is a descendant, disciple of like Bill Parcells, Bill Walsh. Like those are like the godfathers of like the modern day NFL.
And then you drop down to their tree and be like, okay, so wait, who else is on that?
Right, exactly. And then it's like you have, and then like you have the Andy Reid's tree that's like a more recent tree. You have the McVay Shanahan whole tree that it makes up half the NFL at this point.
You got all the Mike Leach people in football.
And the air raid descendants and all of that kind of, like, it's so easily traceable. But what I think is really interesting about Ben is like, he is a sicko compliment because he is constantly trying to evolve his own scheme because he's talked about it before where the offense he installed in his first year as offensive coordinator in Detroit is not this offense. There are clearly shared principles. Obviously, he places a lot of value on the offensive line and the run game and wanting to have a very like variety of backs like in the backfield. And there's definitely some like common threads, but he evolves his system. And I think inevitably it's him pulling on all of these different experiences that he's had across the league. And it can be traced to Mike Martz and it can be traced to whoever else, but it's still something that is all his own. And it's also, I feel like we're going through a shift right now in the NFL because of the fact that there's been such a heavy emphasis on, you know, the spread
RPO,
offense,
yes,
and all of that, to the point where now defenses have adjusted and they are faster. They're more complex, but they're smaller.
They're more multiple.
They're more multiple and all of that. But now that's why I think you see so many teams, especially the ones that are like really, really good and really productive, going back to the run game, but with other little wrinkles into it. And like you see Detroit doing it, you now see the Bears doing it. You see, I mean, like Kyle Shanahan's been doing that now in San Francisco for a long time. And it's a response to the fact like, all right, how do you beat lighter, faster, like receivers or defensive backs and all of that kind of stuff? How do you contend with those defenses? You push them around and you take advantage of the light boxes because every team is running their nickel packages, their base. And so they have five DBs out there. Those are light boxes. Take advantage of the light box, run into it, bully them. And that's why I think you're seeing these like physicality. And that's why you can draw such a direct line from like what Ben Johnson is doing to guys like Mike Martz, who were a couple generations ago now for the most part. But it's because this league is cyclical because of the response that offenses and defenses and like have to each other.
You got a bunch of hybrid defenders that are walking out there right now. So like a guy like CJ Gardner-Johnson,
great example,
is like kind of caught in between a couple of different positions,
right?
Because he's so good at what he does, and he's as physical as a light linebacker. Mm-hmm. I call what the Bears defense has been running light dime or heavy dime. Sorry, heavy dime, because they're out there with six defensive backs, but a guy like C.J. Gardner-Johnson can kind of play like a downhill safety or a will linebacker, depending on how you're going to use him. But now that you have to adjust to that, I think you're right. I think now we've seen moving back towards pro-style offenses from the 70s, 80s, and early 90s.
How many more pro sets? I need to look this up. Like, how many more pro sets are you, just by the eye test, are you seeing with the two running backs in the backfield?
Way more.
It's way more. And it's, again, it's a response to the fact that defenses are allowing you those light boxes. And so you need, you can gain those yards, you can get to the second level pretty easy right now.
And even in some of the evolution that you see where the Rams were running almost 100% 11 personnel, and now Sean McVay is out here running 13
at the highest rate in the league. He's using those tight ends again, and the tight ends is like the other wrinkle, I feel like, that has kind of, you know, evolved to like the run scheme. Now you've got, like, I don't know, like, you don't have a full true fullback anymore, but you have these multiple tight end sets which go to the blocking scheme, and they create mismatches. The tight ends, I think, are the next position group to pop offensively.
I think you're right. See, I could talk to Carmen about ball like all day.
Is this our playing out music?
Yes,
this
is they've got to get us off the stage because we got Bulls basketball that we need to do. But thank you so much for coming and hanging out.
Thanks for having me.
Very much appreciated. And if anyone needed to know why Carmen is sitting in the room, that last 10 minutes should have told you exactly why she's sitting in the room. Because like you, she's crazy about ball. But she's a ball knower. And it's different. That's why we love having her here. Thanks to everyone involved with today's show. Thanks to all of our guests. Olin was great, as per usual. Thanks to Weedzin, my guy. For Alex, for Tanny, for Carmen, I'm Lawrence Holmes saying thank you so much for the love and support you show this show every single day. Speegs will be back on Monday, and we'll have a breakdown of Bears-Browns for you. Enjoy yourselves. Try to stay warm. Looking forward to going to Bernie's Book Bank tomorrow for the Patrick Manley Awards. That is going to be dope. I'll have stories from that for you next week as well. Have a wonderful time this weekend. Stay out of trouble, all right? We'll see you next time. Teddy, do the damn thing!
Ladies and gentlemen, The Weeknd.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks.
Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.